Hey, welcome to Texas!
He's a 10.
I choose this family.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 109 of 911 Lone Star Roundup. I'm one of your hosts, EJ, and with me are my lovely co-hosts, Katie and Grace.
Hey guys.
Hi guys.
Today we'll be talking about season 7, episode 3 of 911, titled Capsize. And there's a lot to talk about. This is kind of the culmination of the cruise ship arc, and it was good.
Oh, so good. I loved it. Like, it was so much action. It was so good. Like, just so much was happening, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, we have this much time left, like what is happening,
right?
I did not expect so many of the punches that happened, and I was like on the edge of my seat. I didn't even watch this till we're recording on Monday. I didn't even watch it till Sunday. But the whole time I'm just there like, oh my goodness, what is happening? It destroyed me.
Right. Yeah.
It destroyed me.
It did. Yeah. So we start out the show with an opening scene with a family. They're getting ready to go on the cruise. And this kid is just chilling, sitting on a suitcase outside on his Nintendo Switch, and he's just like totally like zoned out from everything else, and the family's bickering, and they ordered a second Uber on accident because, well, somebody's like, well, I was gonna order the Uber, well, you said I was supposed to order that was what I'll. And it's just so just the back and the forth, and then they all get in these cars and they start to pull away, and then they have one of them backs up because they realize they left the kid sitting on the sidewalk because he was so engrossed in this thing he didn't decide to get in the car.
Right. They remind
he
me
had,
of
he like, had headphones people. On.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. They like my mom knew this lady that, oh my God, they remind me of these people because, okay, so like I remember one story my mom told me. Like the mom, like she had like 5 or 6 kids, and she was like taking them to all like their activities or whatever. And don't you know, the kid that needed to go to dance wasn't even in the car one time. And then there was another time, I'm pretty sure this is the same people, that they were going to the airport, they were going on some trip, and don't you know, they literally left their car on the curb at the airport, literally keys in and everything, and they had to like call, I guess, one of their neighbors to get it.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Like, that seems unreal.
Listen, I have 5 little step siblings brought in by my stepmother into the marriage. I now I'm gonna have to ask them if this has happened before, because I've heard it. But part of it is also like, it doesn't always, like in my step family, like the kids also always looking after each other, and kind of like the older ones are making sure that the younger ones are there, that kind of thing. Which, like in this case, the kids in the episode, the kids are bickering and being just as unhelpful as any.
Right.
Yeah. So and this kid that got left behind is always wearing headphones, so he is not listening to a single thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just sick of my family. I'm just gonna sit here with my video games, live my best life, and like I support that. Like, just the fact that they were like almost leaving him everywhere. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, they even, and then obviously we're going into the cruise ship. They're on the cruise ship, they're in their room, they get the muster call to go, and they're like scrambling, like, where are the life jackets? Which I'm like, don't you guys remember where you found them the first day? It's a whole other thing.
When emergencies happen, people panic.
They do, and that's exactly what they were doing. They were panicking, and then the kid just walks out of, I'm assuming, the bathroom. And like, I think part of it was the kid had the headphones on, and nowadays a lot of these headphones are like
noise canceling,
so you can't hear a lot going on outside of you. So he's, which with the bickering and the family, I'm not surprised he's using it.
I can't blame him there.
I do not. But unfortunately, he got left behind when everybody left to go out to muster. And so he comes out of the bathroom and just kind of looks around for everybody. And then just, yeah. So then that's kind of where we leave that. But it's funny because I think we all have known somebody and maybe have done it ourselves. Like, forget to take the person you're supposed to be taking to the airport
Home Alone.
Or something.
Home Alone.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Home Alone.
Yes. That exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, it's obvious, like, this family loves each other and everything, like they're just trying to have like a good vacation, and but you know, they need to keep, as Home Alone, to steal Home Alone life, they need to count their kids again because they're missing so somebody.
Right. And so our next scene is we get Bobby is helping Athena and Lola down off where they landed when the boat capsized. They realize that the guy who had been complaining and demanding to see the captain about his winnings actually fell and died, unfortunately.
The fact that it mirrored the like the movie, that's like you knew that that was coming, like and I was just like, ooh, that's unfortunate.
Then they realize everybody that wasn't anchored down had fallen when the boat capsized. Unfortunately, we know that Norman was strapped down to the gaming table, so they all look up to see him hanging there and they're like, oh my god, is he dead? And he's like, well, dead people don't bleed. So they realize he is. So it was like, and then Julian's trying to reassure Lola that they'll get him. I was like, oh, she was, and she definitely was still acting the playing the victim card on that, because she feels like he betrayed her, and I'm like, you still cheated on your husband voluntarily. Right. That's a two-way street. So I get that he has his own issues with this, but you also agreed to do it.
Yeah, like
you can't make yourself more innocent by throwing your partner under the bus. Like,
right. And she's like, she just wants to be like, don't talk to me, don't touch me. And like, she just wants to blame him. Like, this is your fault. It's like, girl, it is just as much your fault as it is his, because you could have been like, nope, at any time.
Mm-hmm. The scene is definitely kind of a lot of moving parts, because we've got Bobby's trying to figure out how to get up to Norman so they can get him down, but also worrying about how they're going to get him down. And they notice that some of the decorations is a bunch of like ribbons and straps, so they were able to like him and like he asked the security guard. They figure out how to go get some tools from one of a maintenance room not far away. And he comes back and Bobby's climbing up there. And I'm having visions of season 2 of Eddie climbing up on that house when he.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
And Buck saying, if I would have done that, you would have yelled at me. You know, so then obviously they kind of muster up this harness and they are able to kind of get a pulley system going so they can get Norman down onto some chairs that had fallen, and then get the table overturned. And then once it's kind of all settled, Bobby's like kind of collapses there, and Athena's like, my goodness, I wish Buck could have seen you do that. And he's like, honestly, I'd much rather seen Buck do that. Poor Bobby. He's like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
I know. It's like very much like, I am way too old to be doing stunts like this. Right? Like,
I love it though, because I feel like we haven't really seen Bobby do stunts much.
I know.
Because there's always Eddie or Buck.
Uh-huh.
And usually Bobby's doing like the captain stuff, he's directing them elsewhere. Mm-hmm. He's not really doing the stunts, even though we know he's like capable.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I loved this and that we got to see Bobby like shine. You know, he may be in his 50s, but he is still very much in his prime. Like, he is.
Yep.
He can do that. But I did love him just being like, nah, I would much rather would have had Buck do that. That I was cracking up that entire time.
I know, like, yes.
Mm-hmm. So before we get more of this, we go off to Maddie. We see her at the call center, and she's talking and saying like things like, you need to breathe and just take a deep breath. And we think she's talking to somebody on 911, right? She's actually talking on her phone to Chim, who's at the station.
I love this.
She's like trying to keep him calm.
Because we know then, Chim.
Yeah, because we know
it's Chim. It's like, I'm breathing. I am talking to you.
Right. And she's like, why is Captain Collier still active? And she's asking him like if he's talked to Hen. And Chim's like, no, I haven't, you know, since she got benched, and how Hen's not answering any of his calls. And Buck and Eddie are like, not us either, you know. And Maddie tells Chim that Hen had got cleared to go back to work and tells everyone about it. And they're all like, well, how did you know about it? She's like, well, she came to visit me. Well, why was she there? This is the whole kind of mess. So we and she's like, well, the chief came to see her while she was here visiting me. And then Maddie then tells Chim that Hen had needed a favor and told them about Bobby and Athena's cruise ship might be missing. And then Maddie explains that she tried connecting the Coast Guard, but they haven't heard anything, and mentions the hurricane, which obviously somehow nobody knew about. I go back to this movie that I watch all the time. It's called Day After Tomorrow. And there's this comment where the guy in the weather guy in LA, somebody's like something about the weather and like, it's LA, what weather? And I'm like, yeah, but you know, they're getting weather. And then Chimney's like, well, why would their cruise ship be near a hurricane? Wouldn't they, you know, turn around or go a different direction? And then he's like, Captain Athena. And Chim's like, well, normally cruise ships turn away from hurricanes. And Maddie's like, how they think it did, but it's not officially missing because they haven't had a distress signal, but they did get some dropped emergency calls to the coastal emergency center. And Hen is concerned, and it's been like 2 hours and Hen hasn't showed up to the station. And then obviously the guy's going to call. So they have to go back out. And Buck's like, so who's missing, Bobby and Athena or Hen? And Chim's just, yes.
Yes. The simple yes was so funny. Like, I'm just like, he's just right. Like, yes.
And as the ambulance and the fire trucks are pulling out of the station, we see Hen in civilian clothes sneaking into the station.
That reminds me. I'm like, girl, you're sneaking into your own firehouse.
I know, it's sad.
Yeah, but yeah, that reminds me though when her and Chim were doing that when they were investigating Jonah. Remember?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Call back to that. Yeah.
Good little callback.
It's very funny. I love the way they handled this scene because there were several ways they could do like the whole reveal, because the 118 is totally in the dark as far as things go. So you have Chim on the phone with Maddie, and then you have Buck and Eddie who are rolling hose and they're only catching Chim's end of the conversation. So right. Like, what the heck is happening?
So they're trying to piece all this stuff together.
Like, who's missing? What hurricane?
Right. And this scene, it's funny, the meme. So we've seen some of the pictures from the show from this episode where like Buck is rolling a hose that Eddie's holding over his shoulder. And I just saw one and it says like, this is when you tell your boss that it's going to take two people to do a job just so you can hang out with your work bestie. And it's Buck and Eddie. Oh, yes.
That's relatable too.
Yes, oh, yes. It is. I'm like, well, it'd be so much easier if we had two people doing it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was such a good scene. And Chim's just like, yes.
Yes. Everyone's probably missing.
Right. Everyone's missing. So we're back on the ship and now they realize they have to go to a lower deck, which is now
upper.
Because I know it's now above
the way
water.
That happened is so confusing because it's like everything is upside down. Even looking at everything, you're just like, whoa. Yeah.
Right. And they don't know exactly how much water is in the boat, but they know of like what they had done to save as many people as they could. But they realize the only way they can do it is the hole that was blown out by the pirates is now above water. So they need to get to that hole because that'll be the easiest access point for any rescue. And so I think this is kind of when you start like seeing and I'm like, oh shoot, things are going to go like from bad to worse. And this is like the first, what, 5-10 minutes of the show. I want to call it a movie because I feel like it has been.
Right.
And Bobby and the security guard are kind of like really the only two fit guys to kind of do any of the major helping and pulling and lifting. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to get Norman out of there because he's basically on a backboard. And
listen, those tables are heavy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause they're solid wood. Right. Yeah. And then any kind of water damage to it, then it's even heavier. So yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course Norman doesn't want Julian anywhere near him. Cause you know, Bobby had originally said, you know, you're going to have to help me with, you know, Norman. And Norman's like, no. And then Lola was like, well, I'll help. And he's like, no, I don't want you near me either. And I was like, ooh, this is getting interesting.
Yeah. I loved him because in the moment where he is literally still like not doing well, being he was shot, he is being so petty, and I love him for it.
Right. I mean, hey, I don't blame him. You know, he just finds out his wife has been cheating on him. He's thinking completely different things, and yeah, I don't blame him. So, but Athena, you know, tells him, she's like, you know, we have to work together right now, and you have to put all that stuff aside because they've got to get out of there. After they get him kind of, it's that first level on the backboard, he's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to walk with any dignity he has left. So him and the doctor kind of help Norman get kind of start walking, which is cool to see him up and walking, given everything that's gone on.
Yeah.
And I did want to say, you know, like, it's so hard to handle any sort of cheating situation because it's not like he has the option to just walk off the boat and never see, you know, Lola or Julian again right now. Right. Like, He's having to coexist in the same spot as them.
Yeah, it's
tough. And, like, I don't know if everyone's going to agree necessarily with this, but I do think he handled, like, every bit of this, he was handling himself with dignity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was not, at no point was he begging, I don't know, begging Lola to not have done this to him, to pretend like it didn't happen or to, you know, come back or anything. Even after 36 years of marriage, we find out that they have been together since they were like 17 later on. They have literally never been with anybody else. They've always been together. And I feel like that's so much more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And, but at every point, he was treating himself with dignity, even though the situation was like out of his worst nightmares. And I just wanted to say, I love him. Like, protect this man.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I love him so much.
I'm like, yeah, no. it's great. Can he and Bobby hang out when all this is done?
I've been thinking that. Like, I really want to see that. Like, I just, because, like, there have been characters that have been on 911 as, like, little guests, like, through the calls that have shown up again. So I'm like, can we have that happen? Because I want to see it.
Yeah. At least something about them being in contact or something. Because I feel like Bobby could really, you know, help him figure out starting his life over again.
Yeah.
Maybe they rescued any good lawyers on their call, getting him a good divorce lawyer.
I know.
Even though you know what she's going to jail. So anyhow, that's getting ahead of myself. But like, just W. Norman. We love him.
Yeah. So back at the 118, Hen is in Bobby's office. She's on the computer filling out a priority resource requisition file. And while she's doing that, she gets a call from Maddie. It says how the Coast Guard hasn't gotten in contact with the ship. And Maddie is trying to get people to take her seriously, but nobody is going to like look for a ship that's not asking for help. So Maddie then asks Hen where she is and says that she knows that she never went back to the 118 because obviously she's talked to Chim now. And Hen asks if Maddie's checking up on her, of course, because she's like, you know, probably doesn't want to get anybody else involved, which, you know, she's kind of already involved Maddie by just showing up at the call center. And Hen's like, she doesn't have to do whatever she's doing alone. You know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's like Hen is trying to do this alone because she thinks she's alone because she hasn't really talked with Buck and Bobby or Buck and Chim and Eddie since the last kind of episode. And then you can hear kind of in the background that the station is getting other calls. So Hen realizes she's going to have to get out of the station. So she finishes the document. And since she's tried official channels and it didn't work, she's going to have to do something else, but she doesn't want to tell Maddie anymore than she has to.
Which I also just want to say, like, especially coming from what, like some of the events that happened last season with Hen and Maddie, like figuring out why they're still with each other. I am here for a Hen and Maddie bestie ship.
Yeah,
just say. Oh,
yes. And
yeah,
here
we haven't
for
gotten
it.
A lot of it.
I know.
We haven't. I want more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I saw it in an upcoming episode. There's some scenes with Henren and Chim and Maddie.
I was just about to say that. Yes. Like, it's not still that's like Henren and Chim and Maddie. And I'm so excited to see that.
I need some double dates. I need some hangouts.
Yes. Because, like, besties and besties.
Yeah.
Besties and besties. Yes.
And it's back on the ship. They're trying to get out. They're kind of making their way up by going down technically on the ship, vice versa. And they have to get to this maintenance shaft, but then there's this explosion. Some water I think had gotten into some of the electrical system and caused an explosion. And Wes, the security guard, gets blown back, and they realize it's a gas leak from, you know, ruptured line and everything going on. You know, it's obviously last thing on anybody's concerned list right now.
Yeah, they think a spark from the door opening hit the gas.
Yes.
That's what they
think. Yeah.
And at this point, I will have everyone know is when I start to sob.
Yeah, I get really worried. I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to end well. And I really like this character, but
I know.
Unfortunately, he's got a really nasty chest wound. And Bobby does what he can to try and like stem some of the problem, but unfortunately, it doesn't. And between the chest wound and just the shock of it all, unfortunately, Wes passes away. And I love, like, Norman was trying to tell the guy, you know, like, hold on, buddy, you're gonna be okay. And, you know, obviously he's got the water. And then he felt like his chest was filling up with water, like he couldn't breathe. And so it was just all this stuff and the trauma.
Yeah. And right before he dies, he tells the captain of the ship, who we find out her first name's Reyna. And he's like, tell Carly and my kids I love them. And then he dies. So and I'm standing, I am sobbing. Yeah.
I'm like, no, why? No. And like, it's just, it was so much so fast, because like, you see this gesture and you're like, okay, this is probably not gonna end well, but you know, let's see what happens. And then of course, like, they try something, it doesn't really work. Then he starts coughing up blood, and you can tell that like, he cannot breathe and he is not going to make it, especially since they have quite a ways left to go. Like, that was gonna be hard enough to have like, two people incapacitated, both Norman and Wes.
Right.
And he was my favorite side character out of this whole thing.
I was rooting for two people that were background or side. Mm-hmm. I was rooting for Wes, and I was rooting for the first mate, who by this point he's dead. Like, we never hear anything about him.
Right.
So I'm like, I wanted him to, yeah, he didn't. And then Wes dies, and I'm like,
yeah,
this can't get any worse.
I know.
I was so sad. I'm not going to get over this one anytime soon. I'm just telling y'all.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me either.
So we've back to Hen. She's showing up to the fire department's helicopter depot, and she's requesting a helicopter and a pilot. And they're like, oh, well, you know, why? And she's like, going to search for a cruise ship. The guy's like, is it that kind of out of our jurisdiction? And then we see a familiar face from previous 118 crew. Tommy walks up to her, actually talking about how he knew all about it. And he's told the guy that he should, you know, oh, I'll have to check into that as to why you didn't hear about it, because the guy didn't have anything idea. He's like, but they're like, well, wouldn't it fall under the Mexican Maritime Search and Rescue, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, Tommy's like, oh, don't worry about it. He's like, yeah, just put the request on the desk and we'll go, and you know, we'll deal with it later, kind of.
I just like passing
it, which I love. Like, it's just like, yeah sure, this is what happened, and like, right. I am here for it. I'm so glad they brought Tommy back. Like, I did hear Tim say that they were gonna bring Lucy back again, but because she has this new show that films in New York, that wasn't gonna happen. But I am so happy that they did Tommy over Lucy, just because we haven't seen Tommy in a few seasons, and I just feel like the dynamic is way different than Lucy, just because she's been on the show recently. And honestly, I liked everything that happened. I just think it brought like this whole new thing. I don't know. I liked it. Yeah. I'm so happy we got that.
Right. Oh, go on.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say it's kind of, because like, we know Tommy from previous 118. We know that he's at the helicopter station because he's the one in 216 or 217, whatever it was. Yeah, sometimes
215 or 16.
When Shim calls this buddy of his for the fire rescue for help, and you know, he was even talking, he's like, oh, he's like, I've known her since she was a probie. And like, I don't really think you guys gave her the best times. And so, like,
granted, she was like the probie, so I kind of understand it in a way.
So
plus, we did see like, he left on good terms when we saw him leave. He left on good terms. So there's I am glad they brought me back over Lucy. For one thing, I have complicated feelings towards Lucy to begin with. There are things I like about her, but there are many things I didn't like as much. So, you know, it would have been fine if she'd come back. It was great seeing her in the finale of last season. Mm-hmm. However, having Tommy come back, because we haven't seen him in so long, it's like a special flashback. Now, like, I want to go rewatch those Begins episodes when I never rewatched those particular Begins episodes.
I know.
I'm like, oh my gosh, it's you.
Yeah.
Plus the commentary was so good with him. I don't think it would have been the same.
Yeah, and I know it definitely answers my question as to why we didn't have Lucy. I totally forgot she was filming a movie. Or a show in,
I believe in New York, because that's where she
lives. Yeah, that makes, I was thinking, I thought I heard somewhere else, but it totally might be New York, but that is beside the point. I'm like, I know there was a lot of like tension with her last time, so like, I'm glad they brought Tommy back, and it makes sense as to why, because I think I had mentioned in a previous episode, I was like, oh, are we going to get some Lucy since we're at the helicopter? And then we, you know, now we know why. And
also, I just want to say before we move into the rest of the scene, if Tommy had shown up, how long was Hen going to be able to keep bullshitting her way into the situation.
I know. Just like, she had like no plan. She was just gonna like, you know, let's just go do this. And I'm like,
she had gotten a copter and a pilot, how long she could be able to bullshit to them?
I know. I love the confidence, but like, we needed some sort of plan there, bestie.
Something. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So thankfully, Tommy's help. He's able to kind of pull Hen away from this random guy, and he's like, "Oh, I got the helicopter ready. We can get in and go." And Hen is like, what's going on? Like, why are you helping? He's like, oh, I'm just helping an old friend. She's mm-hmm. like, yeah, but how did you know who called you? Yeah. And Tom is like, who do you think? And like, they walk up closer to the they open the doors of the helicopter, and who's sitting there? Buck, Chim, and Eddie. And Eddie just holds out the jacket, and Chim's like, well, you wouldn't return any of our calls.
I loved that. Like, it was just like, I loved them seeing them sit there, them just looking at her, and like, she's just like, yep.
Right? They gave off get in, loser, we're going shopping vibes, honestly. Yes. They were just like, well, we're waiting on you, come on.
Right? Yeah, they're like, come on, you know, like, we should have been up in the air a little while ago. Right. So back on the ship, they unfortunately had to leave Wes's body behind. They see the pressure door, and the captain says how the pressure door must have been triggered when it capsized. Bobby notices that it's not fully closed and that someone's stuck. And it's the mom from the beginning of the episode who had gone, because when they were mustering, she realized her son wasn't there after the fact. And so she was going back into the boat to find him. And unfortunately,
she literally jumped out of the lifeboat to go get him.
Yeah. Right. And I think there was a moment where Wes was telling her not to.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyways, so that you have that. Then on the helicopter, Buck is looking at Chim. He's like, maybe you should say something. You know, that whole Chim's like, I should say something. Why me? And Eddie says how tense it is in the little helicopter. And Chim is wondering why it's his fault and how much more proof does Hen need that they have her back. And they apparently lied to their pseudo captain that they ate some bad sushi at lunch so they could get out of the rest of their shift in order to,
like, all of them. It's like, yep. Okay,
they're like, oh yeah. My god, we all have food poisoning,
right? Oh yeah, my stomach. So they spend the rest of their shift in order to aid and abet the virtual theft of the LAFD chopper. and Hen's like, who asked you to? And Buck being like, oh, I think this is an open channel.
Oh my god,
Buck,
I love the stupidity. I love Buck, and I'm just like, that is so Buck to be like, wait, I think this is an open channel. Yes, right. It's an open channel.
I know. Yeah. Think it sure was.
And then Chim's like, you do, right, Buck? do you really? Hen's like, you
which
don't
I'd
have
like to
put...
add.
No, go ahead.
Just really quick, I wanted to add that during the call scene between Chim and Maddie with fucking Eddie in the background, they'd already been like, I don't blame us, okay? We're not the ones to blame in this situation.
Right.
So it's a callback to that. They're like, no, you need to fix this one.
Yeah, and Hen's like, you know, you don't have to prove anything. You didn't do anything wrong. We can drop it. Chim's like, no, we're not dropping it. Chim's like, if I didn't do anything wrong, then you didn't do anything wrong first. And Hen's like, okay, fine, good. And there's kind of this banter back and forth. And he's finally like, come on, guys, stop arguing with each other like you're fighting. It's weird.
It is weird. It's like, good, 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 good.
Yeah. And Buck's like, okay, so we're good.
Like,
and Hen's like,
sure,
yes, we're always good.
Before?
I know, right? There's probably
like, that
reason
is a very
why...
couple argument and bestie argument. Like,
well,
two separate.
Yes. Yeah. And Chim asks why she didn't reach out. And Hen says she knew that they would insist on coming, and she didn't want them to put anything else at risk over some wild hunch she had, even if she didn't have any really true way of proving it. And Buck says how he'd back her hunches any day of the week, no questions asked. And Eddie's like, truth. Plus, it's Cap and Athena. Chim's like, right. So if there's any chance they're in trouble, this is Buck speaking, let them fire us. Who cares?
Of course it's Buck saying that, just right? Saying, of course he starts that.
And then Chim's like, you hear that, Tommy? That's the spirit of the 118. And Buck's like, yeah, that should be our motto, who cares? And he's like, that's not a really good motto. Buck's like, well, not if you take it out of context.
I'm just like, yeah.
And Tommy's like, they shouldn't worry about getting fired. And Chim like, because our cause is righteous. And Tommy like, because they're flying into a hurricane, we're probably gonna die anyways.
I just, you know what, Tommy's a saint because he's just sitting there listening to all this going, and that's why I'm at where I'm at.
Yep. I know, like, it's kind of like him sitting there like, oh, what the heck did I get myself into?
Yeah.
Like, these people are a little bit crazy, but okay.
I just want to also say, though, because I was just thinking about this. I'm like, you know what? Of course, Hem, Chim, Buck, and Eddie all are going into this together. But, like, Tommy never had to say yes. He never had to go along in this mission. So right. I'm honestly like, boy, you're doing this for someone who's not, you're doing this for, like, not even your team anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you knew them. Yeah, they're old friends. But, like, I don't know. I have a lot of admiration for Tommy because he had absolutely no obligation to do this. And even if he's not going to die in the hurricane, he's looking at losing his job if this doesn't go right. And he still does it. I'm like, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. I was really shocked that he did. And I was trying to piece together, like, so he must have left the 118 as a firefighter and then joined the helicopter department and maybe did some extra training, obviously, to get his pilot's license. Because, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a big transition. But yeah, he didn't have to do that. And I feel like it shows the strength of the 118, past mm-hmm. and present, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So back on the ship, we have the guys are trying to figure out how to disassemble the door because there's too much pressure on it. And they're trying to get this woman out, but they can't get her out. And Norman was telling Lola, I can't remember what happened in the scene, the previous scene with them and Wes, but Lola did something kind of brave and I don't remember exactly what it was.
She, so basically, like, they needed something to, like, help Wes's, like, chest wound. So Bobby's mm-hmm. like, you need to, like, go find, like, a plastic bag or, like, something like that, anything that'll cover it. So she, like, through all that water, she, like, found a plastic bag and she ran it over. Mm-hmm. Yes, like, this isn't really what Norman is, like, talking about. Like, it's kind of, like, mm-hmm. a backhanded compliment. But I love all the things he's said in this episode, mm-hmm. like, just kind of all, like, the clapbacks he has, like, in the moment of all this, the fact that he could literally just do that, I'm just like, it's very comedic, and I love him for it.
Right, yeah, and then she's like, I'm not brave, I'm just getting through this like everyone else, and he's like, oh no, he's like, I actually meant you having sex with a guy that much younger, you could have given yourself a heart attack.
I was on the floor, died laughing.
Wow, he must be feeling better because he's getting wittier. I love it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "You're right. He used me, and I let him."
That's not what we meant, Lola. But okay, if you want to say that, sure.
Yep, she's still playing the victim, which at some point she's gonna have to realize that she had a part in this too. And he's like, "They've been together since they were 17, and she didn't know what it was like to be with someone else. And it's really that's not an excuse." And she's
"If you're
like,
happy in your relationship, then it should not ever matter."
Exactly.
Like, at that point, you wouldn't want to be with someone else. I understand curiosity, but at that point, you approach your partner about switching up in the bedroom a little bit or something like that. Like, you don't go find somebody else.
Right.
And she also blamed him, like, he hadn't touched her in a while or whatever. You guys are both in your 50s, okay? Like, you know sex drive starts going down, right, as you get older? Like,
I don't know. They sort of remind me of the people, and I actually know people like this that are older. They remind me of the people that, like, basically got together when they were younger, and they stayed together, they married, they had kids, they lived their life, and then, like, they're, like, the people that should have got a divorce but didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's also, I think that comes down to why there's so much, like, what's known as gray divorce, which is, like, over 50, like, elderly. My parents were technically gray divorce, I think. No, not technically, I think, but they were, like, just before that. It was a later in life divorce, anyway. But, like, gray divorce is, like, much older, and there's still, like, a lot among the elderly, and I think that's mm-hmm. because stuff like this happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Someone goes through a late life crisis, or a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one point where Lola said something about how she's never been with another man, and Norman's like, "You're fine."
I loved that line. It was so funny and like just like such a good clapback to this whole situation. I was just like, neither have I. And I was just like, Norman, I love you.
Right.
I love him. He's so, that was so funny.
And Norman's like, he's like, well, I figured we'd be together until, you know, we died. And Lola's like, well, I mean, honestly, at this point, they might. Which is, it's sad. But so they end up, Bobby, he goes and gets just down the hallways a like break glass if fire, and they need, it's an axe. And so of course Bobby goes to get the axe, and he breaks the air pressure and it springs the door back open, so they're able to get the woman's son. And they're like trying to ask her like why she came back on the boat, and you know, why she didn't go. And then she's like, she was looking for her son, and she tells him where he should be. And it's at this moment they realize that Bobby needs to go find the son, which means Athena and the rest of them have to continue on, and so that Bobby has to separate from the group. It's like, oh,
which,
no.
Which, like, originally Athena was going to go off, and then he's like, no, you take everyone else out, I'm going to go back. Which I love this, because so far we've seen Athena be the kind of one running off and doing, like, the side quests. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put that, like, yeah, doing the side quests, the main quests. And so now we have Bobby going into a slightly more precarious position.
Yeah.
But I also love they like they didn't have an argument over it or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, I think it was like, okay, you go take care of yourself. Yeah. That kind of
thing. Right. And I love her line about, you know, bring him back to his mother about the kid, and then bring yourself back to me. It's like, oh, mom and dad splitting up. I don't like it.
It destroyed me.
I know. I it's like I love that line. It's just like, yep, please come back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if I don't have something like this one day, I don't want it.
I know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And, yeah. And so the helicopter is kind of over where the Uno last pinged, and they still haven't found him. Obviously, it's night, it's windy, it's rainy, it's cloudy, they can't see a lot.
They're also looking for an upright cruise ship.
Right. They're also they're looking for smokestacks and a normal looking cruise ship. They're not. They had no idea, that they didn't even think about possibly being capsized.
Right.
So then over the radio, Tommy gets a call from his chief, and he's like playing it off, you know, as if he couldn't hear him, because, you know, there's a storm.
He literally is making static noises, and I'm
and then he turns the radio off.
I know. And yeah, that was like the chief, I'm pretty sure, of like the whole department. Because that was
of
like
the LAFD.
One.
Yeah,
of the LAFD. So that was like the one that like basically like told him to go back to work, and this is where we're at. So
So he's like, yeah, I know all about what she just did. So Tommy's like, he's like, do you think he bought it? And Hen's just got her face, her facial expression.
It's like we're screwed.
Right.
We're
and then Chim's like, well, what's our motto?
Who cares?
Who cares? And he's like, that's one. But they're in such a serious situation, but we're getting goofy 118, and I have missed this.
They're so chaotic, and I love them.
Right?
They're siblings, Your Honor, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Except for Beck and Eddie, but we all ignore the things that they have going on.
Yeah. So, back on the ship, the Athena and the other group are finally able to get to where the hole is that from the explosion, but it's pretty high up. It's probably, you know, 3 or 4 levels from where they're standing up, and there's nothing to climb on. So Norman's like, well, I guess this is where I'm going to die. And Athena's like, we're not giving up right, you know, now. And he's like, you know, the hole is pretty high, so it's a challenge for anybody, but you know, he's injured. He's a bigger guy. He might not be able to climb that. And Julian tells Athena that she appreciates that her and Bobby gave them, you know, this goal to get there, but there's no one out there looking for him. And then just as they're all kind of starting to feel like, you know, the end is near, they hear the helicopter. I'm like, yes.
And Athena's like, you wouldn't say that again.
Right?
I know. Yeah.
So on the helicopter, Buck's like, I can't see anything. And then he goes, yeah, because you're flying into a hurricane. And Tommy's like, yeah, it's not good out there at all. And then Chim's like, you know, a cruise ship that size would stand out like a Christmas tree, you know, with the lights and everything, because they have no idea what's going on with the ship. They don't know, but they're thinking they're going to see lights. Tommy's like, yeah, but it's a Category 5 hurricane. pass through here and they could be miles off target, you know, with the wind. And Buck's like, what do you mean pass through? What's this? And Tommy's like, this is intermittent showers. I was like,
yeah. You don't fly in a bad storm to begin with. You don't fly in a hurricane. Like, you can't fly in a hurricane.
Right. Even the Coast Guard and the Navy have to ground their planes in certain weather situations. It's a death wish. Yeah. So on the ship, they're looking around and they've kind of, the helicopter has gone past them because obviously they didn't see them. And they start looking around and, you know, make the comment about, you know, they're looking for the top of the cruise ship, not at the bottom. And then we see Bobby, he's looking around for the kid. He'd gone up a couple of levels to find this kid. And thankfully, Athena, in all the mess, was able to find a box of a flare gun, but there's only one flare. So it's a one-time shot. Because of course it is. And Julian's like, because they're like, you know, she's a good shot. She's a police officer. She's been shooting guns for a long time. So she could do it, but flares are always sporadic. You don't know exactly how high it's going to go before it veers off. Or if it's going to actually get out of the ship, you know? So Julian's like, he can climb up to the highest point as far as he can go and shoot it out. So it's guaranteed that it's going to go out. And then, you know, Athena's like, do you really think if you do that for us that I'll end up letting you go? Because obviously, you know, this whole time he's been doing this, even though technically he's arrested, quote unquote. Yeah. He's like, I'd rather be alive in prison than dead at the bottom of the ocean. And
he finally has priorities.
Yeah. So Athena agrees and hands him over the flare gun. And obviously, when the helicopter went out, we're back to Tommy and the team, that the helicopter only had 90 minutes. It was 90 minutes to get there, 90 minutes to get back. And then they would only have about 12 minutes to search for the crew
or the ship. Which is not a lot of time.
Which is not a lot of time in that area. So they're going to have to turn around soon and go back to base, which is not going to be good. And so they're hoping they can find it. So we then see Bobby is still looking for the little boy, Corey. Julian does climb up, but then is struck back down and you see a flame, which is like, oh shit. So Lola goes underwater to retrieve the flare gun, which I'm like, wow, okay, she's actually doing things. And then Athena takes a chance and shoots it. And thankfully it does go out. In the chopper, they do finally see the flare and Buck's like, hey, whoa, look. Pan's like, that's it, go back. And then they realize
and Eddie's laughing.
Right. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did it. So in the previews, we kept hearing Mayday, Mayday. Well, it wasn't because the helicopter was going down. So Tommy's calling it because he's looking for all rescue units in the area because yes. Now this is the Mayday that the ship needed to give for.
Yes, they have proof. Help. They could see the hull of the boat at that point.
Yep. So on the ship, we see Athena's holding Junior. I think there was even a conversation. I want to go back a few seconds. Is that I think Hen had also made a comment about, like, we don't have enough fuel to get back to the department and they are not going to leave them. So they decide to land on the ship, like on
that
the
was a little bit
ship.
Later.
Was it later? Okay.
Yeah.
Don't mind me then.
we'll address that.
Yeah. And so on the ship, Athena's holding Julian and he's asking if she'll let him go. And she's like, yeah, I'll let you go. Well, unfortunately, he'd fallen. And so he ends up dying, which is a bummer.
I know that was like,
and at this point is when I texted you guys saying, how many people are going to die?
I thought that's what you meant, but I didn't want to ask just in case you didn't get to like where I thought you were at. But like, that was honestly so confusing to me with how fast that happened. Cause I was like, wait, what the heck just happened? Mm-hmm. And it was honestly, I was like, wait. So like he got struck by something and I was like, wait, but I was
I'm not even sure quite what happened.
I'm not either. Like, I know there was, like, the storm and there was, like, thunder, but I can't even comprehend.
No, the only thing I could think of is that lightning. But I'm
that's what I...
But lightning would have affected the hull because it's all metal. Yeah, right. So I think the current would have carried to everybody if it got hit by lightning.
Yeah,
but I don't know, maybe something too. On the hull, like, sparked. Maybe there's like a mini like explosion or something. I'm not honestly sure, but I will say it's not like Julian didn't necessarily like destroy me like the others. I'm not really surprised on what they did with him. I am a little bit.
Yeah.
He was either going to be arrested or he was going to die. So I could see him coming out of there being arrested and going to jail.
Yeah.
And that would have been satisfying. But honestly, I kind of prefer that they ended his storyline there, because also there was a little bit of that last, there was a little bit of devastation that comes no matter who dies with the fact that you're almost rescued. Yeah. Like, you were almost rescued, and you didn't make it. And there's just that little bit of devastation. It was well played storyline-wise, I think. Like, just tugging at the heartstrings. So, at least, you know, I'm glad Julian went out having tried to do something for everybody else. Like, I feel like he kind of had a little bit of a redeeming feature. Not wiping away everything he did, because his actions did cause this whole situation.
Right. Yeah, it was, at least... I don't know. I guess at least he was able to end on a little bit of a redemption. Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like they kind of had that plan for his story, just because it's like, are you really going to arrest two people once this ship is saved and whatever? And like, I feel like the whole time they were just little bits trying to redeem him. And I don't know. It didn't like break me, but it was still like... very sad, because it was just like him just slowly fading, and Athena kind of like holding him, having like this like, you know, talk, and being like, because he's like, oh, you're gonna finally let me go, and she's just basically like, yeah. And like his last words were just like, thank you for choosing Oceanus Blue, and I'm just like, what the hell,
right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so on the boat, we see Bobby finds Corey and the kid curled up in a little ball with water around him, broken things. And he's like, my mom says I'm not supposed to go with strangers. And I'm like, I get it. I do. Like, but kid, you're on a sinking ship and here's help. Like, but I love what Bobby does. He's like, that's good advice. He's like, I'm Bobby, what's, you know, and you're Corey. He's like, now we're not strangers. He's like, so let's come on, let's go. So they do end up start kind of on their way to where they need to go. And we're back on the helicopter. Hen is then talking about what I was just thinking about earlier. Hen's like, hovering is going to burn more fuel than just flying. And Tommy's like, yeah, that's right. And so Hen's like, well, we need to land. So they end up landing on the capsized ship. And obviously everybody inside is cheering for the helicopter. And Bobby and Corey are climbing to the opening, to an opening up, and then it closes shut. And, you know, Corey had gone first. So then Bobby climbs up with him and they're trying to open it. And of course it doesn't open right away. And then all of a sudden it opens, and guess who's above them? Fucking Eddie.
I loved that.
And they're like, hey Cap, need a lift?
I loved it. It was just like,
it's just their dumbass smiling faces side by side, right? Be like,
hey Cap.
It's like, hey dad, how's it going?
Hey, Dad, did we do good? They were giving puppy dog energy. That's like, why I was trying to breathe.
And like Bobby is just like, oh, thank God it's them.
You see his face, he's like, my team, my boy.
Right. So then we get this really cool montage with the chief of the LAFD talking, and it's a reporter asking, it's doing a press conference talking about the cruise ship disaster, and the reporter asks if it's unusual for LAFD to respond, and the chief's saying that it's like, we go where we're needed, which is why when we heard of the dire situation, he didn't hesitate to authorize this mission. So I'm like, even Hen and the crew kind of forced his hand, because now he's like, he can't say no, I wouldn't have authorized that. So of course I'm like, but thankfully, and he by also doing can't that, say that
a team went rogue,
right?
He because, also can't yeah. admit that they went rogue. Which yeah. like, if the here's the thing, like, because when they're looking at having to turn around before they would be going back to certain firing at that point,
yeah,
because they literally stole a copter. Yeah. But now he's in a corner. Yeah. And I'm like, it worked out for them.
It worked out. And like, he kind of had to say all that just because, like, it would have made it look so bad.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It was like kind of him taking credit for everything, but like, whatever. That's just kind of what has to happen.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to politics.
Yeah. And I've seen this done in other shows.
Right.
And so it wasn't like surprising. I was just like, yep, here we go.
Yeah, but thankfully this will keep us from worrying about the 118 getting suspended, arrested, or any other things that could happen. So that's good. And I love like seeing, I think Hen talked with Maddie and was thanking her for tattling because, you know, obviously she had to tell somebody what was going on. And, you know, they both kind of shared that they've got each other's backs, which I love, because I remember a few seasons ago when Hen was really concerned about Chim and Maddie's relationship because of all the stuff that Maddie had put him through.
Yeah, that was last season.
Yeah, so to see all that kind of, in a way, get resolved or worked through was really awesome. And then we see Bobby and Corey are airlifted back to the deck of one of the rescue ships. And Hen yells at Athena when she sees Bobby. So we see Bobby's reuniting with Athena, which was so good. And I loved how everybody was watching them. It's like, mom and dad are reuniting. Yay.
I know. It was so good.
Corey was able to also reunite with his mom, which was awesome too.
And the rest of the family was there too. So, you know, we know their story ended happily ever after, at least.
Yeah. And then we get kind of Norman and Lola stuff. So Norman says he's sorry for your loss to Lola. And she's like, what? And he's like, you know, I guess despite everything, that Julian guy was a pretty decent human. And Lola's like, yeah, but he was a rat, but he didn't deserve to die. And she's like, and you didn't deserve any of it. And Norman is like, what are you talking about? The hole in my belly or the hole in my heart? I'm like, oh. And she asks if he can forever forgive her. And he says, we'll talk about it in 10 or 20.
She stands up and she's in handcuffs. And you're like, yep.
Yeah.
Saw that coming. Oh my God.
Because yeah, obviously somebody was going out there in handcuffs.
Yeah. Them,
so, you know. Someone was being arrested for this. And listen, I doubt they're going to catch the pirates ever. Obviously, like, I doubt not. Anyone's going to catch the pirates. So Lola's going to take some of the fall on this one. Which, earlier in the episode, she has said something about, like, realizing this is all my fault. Like, this is, like, she had said, this is all our fault. She was yelling at Julian. That's what she was doing. She was like, don't you get it? This is all our fault. This happened because of us. I don't remember at what point this happened, but it did happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it is your fault.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
And I know there's a lot of gifs going around, but she's definitely gonna, I don't know. I was thinking about what she could be, like, tried for. And I really couldn't come up with anything specific other than, like, abetting piracy or something like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then, like, there's a bunch of gifs running around. So when Bobby and Athena got reunited, there's that gif of, like, Buck and Eddie and Tommy seeing them. And, like, Eddie starts to walk towards them, and then, like, Buck kind of puts his hand on Tommy's shoulder, and it's like, I was like, everyone's like, oh, it's because he doesn't want, you know, Tommy to go get in part of the family, and so Buck goes first. I don't know, it's just, it's
I cute. Saw somebody, this is wild, okay, but somebody was like, I saw this, I forget where, somebody was like, Eddie is jealous of Buck and Tommy, and I'm like, you guys realize that Tommy is straight, right?
I know, right? Yeah,
I'm just like, guys, stop, like, yeah. It's I love Buddy, but, like, you guys need to stop with just, like, every male that comes into the show isn't always gay.
Right, but yeah, and it's funny because, like, I mean, obviously we'll talk about this when we talk about the promo and stuff, but it's just, it's going to be interesting to see, like, what ends up coming of this jealous Buck situation. But
yeah,
finishing up this episode, we've got Hen is, comes up to Bobby, and she's like, Bobby, I mean Cap. And she says how she's like, she had no idea how much she's missed him. And he tells her apparently enough to charter a helicopter and crash his honeymoon. And then Hen's like, I didn't have a choice. And he's like, yeah, you did. You could have done nothing. And then I wouldn't be standing here in front of you telling you how proud I am of you.
Aww. I just started crying again, honestly. I was like, oh.
Yeah. And she says, thanks, Cap. And Bobby's like, no, thank you, Captain. I was like, yes, the recognition she deserves.
I always forget how much I love Hen and Bobby scenes. And then I get them and I'm like, treasure.
Yep. So we get our final scene of the episode. Bobby and Athena get home with takeout in their hands. And they sit down on the couch. They look exhausted. Athena's sitting there drinking her soda. Bobby's like, I need a vacation. And Athena's like, I need a toothbrush. And Bobby's like, because yours is sitting at the bottom of the ocean floor. And Athena's like, yeah, along with the rest of our luggage. And they just both start laughing. And then they finally get some alone time. And both of their shirts are like, welcome home, Hollywood, or welcome to Hollywood, or Hollywood tourist shirts. They're hilarious.
I know. It's like they clearly had to stop at a gift shop to get clean clothes.
Right.
Because they have nothing. They don't want to wear. Clearly. Obviously, they're clothes they had been wearing on the ship.
They
it's just
dirty.
Like, I love it. And I just like, it's like the fact that they needed a vacation from their vacation, because their vacation
on dry land this time
worked.
maybe in a bubble wrap room.
Inland.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, we need Eddie to say, okay, next time you guys decide to take a honeymoon, do it inland, you know, somewhere. No,
go to Disneyland.
Call back to tsunami.
Yes, call back to the tsunami episode.
And you know, while you're at it, wear a helmet, some bubble wrap, and maybe go in a mattress padded room too, just to
oh
make
my
sure.
God. At this point, the entire 118 needs to be wrapped in bubble wrap, and their extended family, because we've had stuff happen to Maddie, we've had stuff happen to Karen. It's like, mm-hmm. much more. You see, we had stuff happen to Shannon. Oh, yeah. So all in all, the episode was really good. It definitely kept you on your toes. There was a lot going on, and I thought it was really good. And I think it was a really good way to wrap up the arc with the ship, the cruise ship disaster. I think it was really good. I think it definitely stands up there with this tsunami being some of the better crossover or like extended emergency arcs.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely
Most definitely.
I loved it so much. I don't even know how to put words to it. I just really liked it. I guess like because we got like our Bobby and Athena, and I feel like we don't really get like mage. Like, I know we get stuff with them, but we don't get like these like multi-episode arcs with just Bobby and Athena. And I feel like we got to see like a whole other side of them, and just especially like, you know, mom and dad saving the ship, saving the people on the ship, and seeing like the people they came across and like how they tried to save all these people, and just all the things they did. And there's just so much. Like, I know I had read an interview, and I want to mention like more things about it, with Tim and Ear saying that like Peter and Angela did all their stunts that were in these episodes, which that is so badass. But
I didn't know about all of the stunts, but I did know that Angela like did her own stunts in like the explosion.
I didn't know anything about like Peter. The underwater stuff and like the explosion. Yeah, they both did. Like, that was like all of them.
Honestly, that makes sense. They're both seasoned actors. I can definitely see them both doing like their own stunts and being willing to do, because they've acted in so much.
And like I also read that basically the cruise ship arc took months to film.
Oh yeah.
Like, which you could tell how much work came into like putting like what took like, you could tell. It was like, it was apparently very challenging to film, because like they couldn't get an actual cruise ship, because like nobody wanted to basically be associated with this. And like Tim was just like, yeah, we never got an actual cruise ship, so we had to shoot in hotels and on different types of vessels, and then use special effects and CGI. But just the idea of that surprised me. I thought that would be easy. You'd rent a cruise ship, you'd shoot on it for 3 days, you'd get a lot of stuff on the decks, but it just didn't turn out that way. It was very difficult to get a cruise ship. No cruise line wanted to be associated with a capsized ship, which I guess I can understand.
That's
fair. I mean, it's not exactly encouraging people to go on a cruise.
I know. I never wanted to go on a cruise, and honestly, this is in the back of my head.
I also read that like they sunk their sets instead of like filling them up with water.
Yeah, there was I forget how it was worded, but like, yeah, like they had like, yeah, they like sunk it or something.
It was very well done. They did a good job in producing all of this. And I've missed this. I've missed being so happy about a 911 arc. It feels like it's been a little bit.
It has been a little bit, because we haven't got a 3-episode arc since season 5, and the one in season 5 sucked.
Yes.
Yeah.
It definitely did.
To say the least.
It definitely did. And even then, like, before then, you know, the mudslide was average. That was season 4's. I wasn't huge in that one. It had good parts of it, but it's not all that memorable. The tsunami, though, was amazing. The earthquake was amazing. I feel like the cruise ship definitely lands among those.
I know. It is hard for me, because I'm like, I love the tsunami so much, but, like, this also hits so hard for me. Like, it's so hard.
If I had
to
choose a favorite,
them.
I would not know what's my favorite.
I would have to cheat a little and be like, cruise ship, one. Tsunami one.
I those would be able to tied. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
yeah,
hard.
Yeah. But no, it was great. And as you said, it was great having like Bobby and Athena featured. Because right. We definitely don't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that ABC goes along that route and featuring them a little bit more. They definitely seem to be very focused on the interpersonal relationships or the interpersonal relationships. in a way we maybe haven't gotten a little bit. So
well, and I think I definitely Yeah, going back to what Katie mentioned about it taking like months to film, I think if I remember correctly, I heard Oliver make a comment that, or saw him make a comment that he really missed Peter and Angela on set because it was like months without seeing them because they were off doing their own thing for the filming of those episode scenes and the rest of them. So it was like he really loves working with them and it was weird not having them around like in every episode and every scene. And I was like, huh. Because they are like a family, and I love that.
Yeah.
So definitely, yeah, it's really going to be hard to pick. I'm going to have to go back and watch the Tsunami episodes just to see, like, how I feel about them now and then compare them to this. I might have to do that.
Yeah, I definitely vote for a major emergency rewatch. I'm also going to have to rewatch the Begins episodes to see Tommy because I need a refresh on him. Like, it's been so long.
Yeah, me too. So do you have any fan thoughts?
Yeah, I think we only have one, but it's a really good one. I really reading it. Definitely very, very nerve-wracking, but let's be honest, the whole premiere was very, very, very nerve-wracking. How I think 703 was incredible. The helicopter scenes were amazing. That chaotic and funny. And the Bobby and Athena reunion was adorable. All in all, I think this is one of the best season starters. I kind of agree. Like, obviously, like we said, Tsunami in this hit like so hard, but it was so good. I saw a couple of people say that they thought that, like, if you watch the episodes back to back to back, that they wouldn't be good to watch together. And like, I haven't watched them together, but I, without watching them, I kind of disagree because, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe
I think it would feel like a movie.
Yeah, I think it would feel like a movie. I don't know that it would have been the smoothest transition.
Yeah.
But, like, that's fine.
I don't know. I think they did their transitions decently. And also, like, I feel like if you can watch the Tsunami back to back to back, which I've done on multiple occasions, I feel like you can watch this back to back to back to back.
For sure.
So, I don't know. But we'll have to see. Hint, hint, we need to rewatch it.
I know. I like always say I'm gonna rewatch these things and I just like haven't in so long, but I definitely wanna like not only rewatch this arc, but rewatch other things. And I also have seen like a lot of interviews. That's what I love about ABC. They've been giving like so many like interviews and like a lot of behind the scenes on like their social media. Like I know there was they were talking with a guy who played Norman and he was saying this is his favorite show that he's had a guest experience on.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
And I think that's amazing. That's amazing. And he was saying like, you know, as an old guy, like this is just like great that I get to do all these things and stuff. And I'm like that's great. Like I loved seeing him talk about this show and like he was so happy that they like brought him back. And I don't know, there's just been so many things that have like come out from like the guest stars, and I'm just like I love it.
Okay, that just made me think though, talking of like Norman, I was thinking about Norman Lola. So they have a son.
Yeah,
please tell me how they're explaining all of this to their kid.
Granted,
hi Zach, your mother cheated on me with a cruise director and who was smuggling weird Bitcoin and pirates invaded his ship because of his Bitcoin and blew a hole in the cruise ship, which caused us to almost both die. And I got shot by the pirates that your mother helped get on the boat by accident. And now your mother is about to serve 10 to 20. How was your day?
Oh my God.
Granted, this kid is probably like a full fledged adult, but even so, it's just like, how do you even tell?
Right.
I feel like that's even worse. You call up your kid who's like at college or at a job and are like, are you sitting down?
That would be an awkward conversation for sure.
Yeah, because like that's something.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about that, had to share that one because I was like, oi.
It's true. All right. So the promo for the next episode, which, mind you, so the episode we just talked about, 703, is the 99th episode. So the promo for 704 is the 100th episode of 911, which is so awesome that they made it to 100 episodes. We're super excited. So it starts with the typical Maddie asking 911, what's your emergency? And it's a 911 and Bachelor crossover.
Which, when I first found out, no, when I first heard about this, I was just like, what in the world? And I know, right? Oliver had mentioned when he was interviewed before the season even started, that there was going to be a slight crossover. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, I wasn't expecting it to be like reality TV. I was like, oh, maybe like they'll cross over with The Rookie, because like those are both shows, right, that are set in LA. Like that would make the most logical sense. And I was like, I would never in a million years like expect The Bachelor, because that is like, I'm curious random.
Who floated that idea?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, yes. Probably. So, yeah. No, definitely.
100%. Oh, did she? Oh.
It is guaranteed. Like, Tim Minear has said that.
Yes, yes. So, Tim basically said that, like, this crossover was, like, Jennifer's idea. She had apparently been, like, hanging out with Bachelor people and, like, said to Tim, like, wouldn't it be great if the 118 had to respond to emergency at the Bachelor Mansion? And Tim was like, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. So, like, that's kind of how that came about. Yeah. And it's very interesting, and just like the fact that in the promo we see like how everyone feels about this whole situation.
Yeah, so we get so this one woman glues herself to the Bachelor Mansion driveway. And Maddie is like, did you just say the Bachelor Mansion? And you, obviously you see Josh in the background, like his interest is peaked. And then the
Josh
Bachelor
is such a reality TV watcher.
Oh, he has
Maddie too. Jim, Maddie, I see too. Buck.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the Bachelor is like asking like if she's gonna be okay to the 118, Joey. I admit I used to watch The Bachelor with my mom.
Oh yeah, I
haven't
too.
Done it in years, so this is, but it's gonna be kind of cool.
You can't
it
not
is.
You know what I mean? I haven't like in a while, but like it is like my mom would always be like, it's a train wreck, you can't look away.
Right. And
so
like,
I never watched The Bachelor, but yeah, I have seen other like romantic reality TV series mm-hmm. before. And I feel like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are so iconic. You kind of know what happens in there anyway. So
yeah. So Chim's like, hey, Joey. And it's like, definitely thinking Maddie and Chim watched the show, or they would not know that.
Okay. This is the picture I have in my head. So like Maddie and Chim watch it. Buck ends up coming over to watch the episodes. Maybe Josh does too. And I'm just like, I kind of support this. Like, I could just picture like them talking about it and then the whole 118 having like a little watch party.
Mm-hmm. Listen, can I float Eddie being like a secret fan? This man watches telenovelas, okay? He must
that
definitely know something
about it. I see that.
Him.
I see that. Like, yes. I can literally picture Eddie being like, this is so stupid. Why would anybody watch that? Him at home by himself after Chris goes to bed, just casually watching it alone and denying it.
I need Buck to let himself into the house and just catch Eddie
right?
watching it.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
I need it.
Yeah. And then you know, Maddie is obviously fangirling, Josh is too. And then we see it like a brief clip of like Bobby, I think, is one of the producers, somebody dressed in a suit, and might have even been the host, because I know it's changed since I watched it last. So then him and like Buck and Eddie and that hen walking towards like the patient where Chim is already treating. And then there's this clip when one of the girls is like, well, if we don't get lucky at the mansion, maybe we'll get lucky at the fire station to Buck and Eddie. And we're like, yeah, I don't think so. Because both Buck and Eddie kind of got this like confused look, which the episode's name is like Buck Bewildered and
Bothered and Bewildered.
So I am curious what it is. There's so much, like, so this is the 100th episode of 911. We know that Jennifer's idea was the suggestion for it. We've got There's a ton of, like, I guess the synopsis has, like, jealous Buck and Tommy is back. He'll be in the episode. There's pictures running around of, like, basketball, like Buck, Eddie, Chim, and Tommy playing basketball, and some jealous Buck maybe slipping in there.
I know there are other scenes of, like, Eddie and Tommy near, like, the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, and I've seen this was the meme I was trying to find for you guys last night. I'll have you know that this meme has shown up on my Tumblr dash for, like, ever since it released, basically, straight. And when I went looking for it, I could not find it. But it was basically, you know, Eddie and Tommy walking away from the helicopter, and it has Buckner's the yellow plane and everything, you know those photos. But hanging from the wing of the plane that Buck is at is just that sign, "Welcome home, cheater."
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm like, okay. Also, I've also seen the synopsis that apparently Harry is supposed to make an appearance.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's in this episode. I have heard that he's coming back.
I'm pretty sure it is, because it's on the synopsis. Because it says
he apparently gets in trouble with the law.
Yeah, I was just about to say that he gets in trouble with the law.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I feel like we haven't really seen him since, like, the whole incident with whatever his face is in season 5. I don't remember who that was.
I can't honestly remember, but we can always talk about that in, like, the next episode. But it's going to be interesting, because literally the last we heard, he was living with David and Michael in Florida. So I'm just like, why are you here?
I'm also curious, because I'm also like, well, we know Michael's not on the show anymore because of the vaccine policy. So how are they, going to, like, pretend that he's on a phone call or something? I doubt they've had any sort of reunion with the actor, so I doubt he's going to make an appearance, but I'm very curious how they're going to handle this, or if even David and Michael are really mentioned much at all. Like, I assume they'll be mentioned. They'll be mentioned, but I'm sure that but I doubt they'll, like,
I'm
curious if they're going to try and bring him on screen, or, like, called, or, like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, we also don't know what capacity Harry's going to be in the episode, now that I think of it. Is he going to be appearing, or is it just going to be, like, a mention?
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe, aren't they in Florida?
Yeah.
Unless he runs away. Like, unless he got in trouble with law and just ran back to California.
That'd be a long run.
We'll see.
Not to mention, if you're gonna fly home, you gotta, like, have a parent, like, do all that for you, since he is still, you know, young. So it'll be interesting to see, like, at what capacity he'll be back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to make sure we talked about Harry as well, because I'd seen that. I was like, that was not what I was expecting. Yeah. I kind of forgot about Harry, let's be honest. So
I did too. Like,
and I think we know that he's going to be back, and somebody asked if May was coming back, and I don't know if even heard if she's coming back.
I know
Peter did an interview. I want May back. I miss her.
I know Peter did an interview, and he said that, like, both May and Harry would be back. He just didn't know at what point in the season they were coming back. And then I do know that I read recently that, like, basically, Corinne, you know, obviously she's in college full time, so she, like, she's no longer, like, a main. She's now, like, a recurring.
Right. That makes sense.
So, like, I feel like I heard she was going to be in, like, maybe, like, one of, like, in the end of the season. So we'll kind of see.
If we have a Madney wedding, maybe she'll
probably be there.
Yeah. She might be there.
Because I feel like we're going to get, like, a whole, like, cast.
I know. So I know we had previously thought that that, like, the Madney wedding would be the 100th episode, but then, like, once it got closer, I was like, yeah, I don't see that happening.
Oh, they have barely, I feel like they barely scratched the surface of all that, so.
I know. I said this is about the Madney wedding, but, like, there's always the bridezilla, but I feel like that's gonna be Chim. Groomzilla, I can see that happening.
Oh yeah, for sure. I
cannot wait till we get that, so we can talk so much about that.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the 100th episode.
Me too.
This is gonna be great. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I feel like season 7 is off to a good start, so I hope it continues. And I know it's gonna be a little bit of an abbreviated season than we're used to, but I'm enjoying it so far.
So far, it is worth every second.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on our socials at 911 LS Roundup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. We also now have our website that you can check us out on at 911lsroundup.com. And as always, be sure to join our Discord server. The link's in the description of this podcast and also on our website.
You guys can follow me, Katie, at FlovTarlos on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads.
You guys can follow me, Grace, at RonanRatha911 on Instagram and at SheepGirl31 on.
You can follow me, EJ, at EJ8302 on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, everywhere. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.